Hey guys.
Hi.
This is Faith.
This is Anna.
Welcome to our podcast. Let's just go for one.
Thanks for listening.
I know. Thanks.
We're a whole mood today.
We are a whole mood today. It was so funny because I just dropped Kennedy off and she's like, I had to call Anna about moving this time 15 minutes because of a doctor's appointment. And so Ken knows we're podcasting. She goes, so what's your weight what this week? I go, I don't know, Ken. She goes, is it about me? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, it's about Junior Sabres. I'm like, I don't know. She's like, is it about vacation? I'm like, can you just stay out of it? She goes, I'll just listen to it.
Yeah, tell her I'll just listen to hers. Shoot, because I'm still convinced someone is coming in here and messing with the equipment.
Ken, this entire episode is about me having sex with Daddy. Maybe that'll get her to turn it off right there. Right there. It'll be a quick turn off. Done.
Oh, my God.
Bye, Ken. Bye.
That's great. This episode should be real fun for me because I have this cool cough every time I laugh. So I'm a little wheezy today.
You're wheezy. You are now going to be wheezy.
I know. Do I need your inhaler? I don't know.
It's right there.
To my head. Perfect. Oh, that worked out nicely.
But hi, guys.
Hi.
Lots of feedback after our last episode, by the way.
Well, I wouldn't know. But go ahead.
Lots of feedback from a lot of people who also let me know their ages and that they listen to us.
Ooh.
And we really have a range.
I love this.
Yeah. Obviously, Kennedy, who's 13. We go from 13 to like 72.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're welcome. Welcome, guys.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Everyone loves us.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Do you have a weight what?
I do.
Okay.
So do I have them? Oh, I have double glasses on.
Oh, my God. You do have double glasses on your
head. Which is a good. So I've been having headaches for like months.
Okay.
I'm like, I feel like I should do something about this. So kudos to me because I called my eye doctor before I called the neurosurgeon. Because
before you diagnosed yourself with
eye cancer. I did diagnose myself with brain cancer. Thank you. But I was like, you know what? Let me start small here. So I text Brian. I go, just to let you know, I have an appointment tomorrow with my eye doctor and I didn't call a brain surgeon yet. He's like, I'm really proud of you. So I went to my eye doctor and my eye doctor is younger than I am. I don't think by much, but nice guy. I've been going to this place forever. So he is like, okay, so let's take a look. I go, my eyes have been super dry lately. It's, kind of hard to see. And I go, and I've noticed I have to like bring things into and out of focus when I'm reading something. Like directions on like something when I'm cooking or anything like that.
Right.
So he's like, okay, so we're just going to go through some tests. I'm like, all right. So he's like, well, an easy fix is you need readers.
Okay.
So
is this why you have the headaches?
Yes.
Oh.
Because I am.
Ocular. It's ocular because you're straining.
Yes. Yes. Because I am straining a lot. And also, I'm on a computer all day.
Sure.
I'm straining with that. I'm straining with all types of reading. So he's like, so here's what I recommend. You can just buy them at the drugstore. I go, okay, so how does that work? Because I wear contacts.
Right.
And he's like, well, there's one type of contact you can get, but my astigmatism is too bad for it. So I can't do it. I go, thanks for the option. He goes, then there's another kind that we could try.
Oh boy.
He's like, but for now, I would just buy readers. I'm like, okay. That's fine.
Just so you know, those like contacts that are like readers on the bottom and regular on top, those also like make a lot of people dizzy too. So
Yeah. He did tell
me
some of
the bifocal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're better off just wearing your contacts and putting in readers.
Yeah. So that's how I'm living my life now. So I was like, okay, so he's like, I'm just going to take a look behind your eye to make sure there's nothing pushing on the nerve. So he said it without saying it. And I'm like, okay, great. And So he's looking, he goes, okay, so I don't see any nerve damage. He's like, but for insurance purposes, we're going to put your dry eye down as the reason for your visit. I go, you serious? He goes, yeah, because, you know, you might have a brain tumor, but that's not an excuse for you to come to the eye doctor. I'm like, that's crazy. I go, also exactly what I thought is that I had a brain tumor. He goes, yeah, I figured.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
So I was like, I love insurance. Like, what the frig, man?
Insurance is the biggest criminal activity.
Yeah. But the best part is I did get some eye drop samples and those are also working great. I'm like, it's okay. This is who I am now. And it's fine.
Well, you've just opened us up to more sponsors. So anything yeah, with
transition lenses.
Feel free.
Oh, actually, Foster Grant, who makes my readers that I bought at Walgreens, which big complaint out of this whole thing. What? And I actually pitched a fit to the cashier.
What? Oh, God. Walgreens. Those Walgreens cashiers are fighting for their life on a daily basis.
I know.
Every time I walk in there, I like get in line. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
They are fighting a battle that we do not see because they always are either being verbally assaulted or they look like they were just verbally assaulted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, God.
All I said was, I can't believe my FSA won't cover readers. Like, these things were $40.
They were?
Yeah, they're not. Well, because I got the blue light blocker ones.
Oh,
they're
up well, here. You should they're do up. The blue light.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that. So, yeah, I now have my dad's glasses.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's all.
Do you know what
really
your
fun.
Reader prescription is? Obviously, yes. You know what your prescription is.
Oh, yeah. It's plus. I did the 1.25.
Because I feel like you could probably go online and find cheap, cute readers.
I was thinking about that, but I will say, so I did buy readers a little. Oh, the best is, I mean, there's no getting away. These totally magnify my eyeball.
They do. And why are they yellow?
Oh, probably from the blue light blocking.
Oh, my God. So they make them yellow?
I didn't know they were.
That is not cute. I love you. But that, I know. No. I have blue light blockers and they're like bluish.
Yeah.
Those are yellow.
I'm going to buy some online.
Well, yeah, the hard those part look is like transitions.
Like, maybe they are. Maybe they're.
Do you see that they're yellow?
No, I didn't. Oh, I see now. No, because I don't look at them
from
this
angle. You look
like
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, my God. He does wear yellow lips.
Maybe he's like blocking the
pool. I feel like, who is it? Milton from Office Space? The guy with the stapler wearing the glasses? I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars for thinner lenses in my glasses to not make me look like my eyes are magnified. And now I spent $35 of my own money to get them magnified.
Look like I am Iron Man. I'm sorry. They're very nice.
Yeah. Please get out of here. No, I did buy nicer ones, but they weren't big enough. I'm like, I need a bigger lens. Because I'm looking up and down at the computer and
I'm literally going to find you better readers.
Okay.
I'm going to find you
1.25, please.
1.25 plus.
That's where you start.
Yeah. Okay.
That's where you start.
We're going to make sure they're not yellow. I was like, those are yellow. They're like the color of your water bottle when
they
you put them
are
down.
Not.
Like,
stop
it looks
it.
Like that because your eyes are so green. Like, it's yellow. Okay. Anyways.
Well, do they
did nobody else tell you that?
You think I'm wearing these in public?
No, but like anyone that, I don't know.
I don't work with anyone. I work with Heather and she's nice. Oh. She won't say that.
Heather, be a good friend.
Oh my God. Get out of here.
Just tell her they're yellow.
Yeah, whatever.
It's okay. I love Heather. By the
my
way,
my headaches are fine.
I need
by
to.
The
oh. This is great. Worth it. I need to get over to her bookstore, by the way, because she has a really funny book there right now.
Which one?
That says you're not the worst mom.
And I bought that.
I want it so bad.
It's so good.
Literally about how certain animals, like giraffes, kick their babies.
Yeah.
over and over until their babies learn how to walk
Did
on the
road.
Did
you not know about this book? I buy this for every new mom for their baby shower.
Okay, well, I actually think some of us old moms need it because 100%. I think we question ourselves more as mothers than when I first had my kids.
Mm-hmm.
When I first had my kids, you had lots of advice and support. Now that my kids are older, everyone just tells you what you're doing fucking wrong. So that's pretty cool.
Including your kids.
Yeah. I've been getting some serious, not mom shaming, but just like... There's definitely been like an influx of opinions on things lately. And I'm just
really?
Like, yeah, we are in. See, now I am talking about Kendi. Hopefully she stopped listening. Mm. But we are in an interesting predicament where Ken is. We have always been parents that are like, you know, everything is with moderation with sports as much as we can. Right. Mm-hmm. We're always like, you don't play spring hockey. Like, we're not doing all these extra money grab things. Like, we've always kind of just been like, you know, we only let her do one travel sport, even though she plays three sports, like one travel sport. And like, we could probably have a whole episode about sports and activities. And like, they're like, I have two kids. My two kids are wired completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
One of my kids could sit in her room with a puzzle book, a Sudoku book, and a Netflix series and never fucking leave. Maybe not even for food.
I feel seen.
I have another child who literally can't sit down to watch a movie without getting up 17 times.
Oh, man.
She has so much energy, and she's always been this way. Even when she was a baby, we had to stop naps very young. And when you have a kid that has that much energy, if you don't put them in activities, they will actually make you want to drive your car off a cliff.
Yeah.
So I have two different types of kids that I have to figure out what helps support them and in a way that's healthy. So we have always promoted Kennedy. And honestly, Kennedy, as you know, has always been the bus driver of wanting to play sports. It's not like we're like, try this. She's like, I signed up for this. I'm like, Jesus Christ. But anyways, we're at this stage now. She's going into high school. So this is kind of the stage that sports tend to get more serious. And I think this is an appropriate age when things are pushed on us at 6 and 7 and 8 years old. I'm like, get a life.
Yeah.
Now I used to always say like, it used to be like my get out of jail free. Well, we'll figure it out when she goes to high school. That's kind of when things get more serious, right?
Oops.
Yeah. And we're at a phase where she legitimately, number one, she loves, eats, breathes hockey. It is never Dan and I pushing it on her. Number two, she's ranking insanely high nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
She just got handpicked to be on this international hockey team that actually seek people out and handpick them and form this team for the summer. And we were like, oh, can she like bring a friend? We could carpool. And they're like, I don't think you understand. We spend a year recruiting and we handpick 30 kids from like US, Canada, and Europe for this team. Like, oh, okay. So that's a no on the carpool. Like, so now she's at this kind of crossroads where her passion is still there. She still loves it. Mm-hmm. Still her driving the train.
Mm-hmm.
Her skill is validating it.
Wow.
And now she's getting a lot of opportunities. And it's hard to say no when your kid has earned opportunities for something that she works her butt off for.
Yeah.
I mean, she plays hockey and then comes home and is in the driveway till 10 o'clock at night shooting more pucks. And not because Dan and I are like, go outside. Yeah. I'm literally like, come sit on the couch, watch a movie with me and eat Pop-Tarts. Like, it's her. It's always been her. But you get a lot of opinions of people who are like, well, you're the parents. You can say no. Or, you know, like, because of course it's a lot of money, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of, and you know, you just get a lot of pushback from people. You don't get a lot of people who support it. Or, well, I'm never putting my kids in all those things, and blah, blah, blah. And I think another hard thing for us is that none of our friends and family have kids our kids' age.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of people who mean well, who I love, who are in my life, and you just don't get it until you're in that phase. Just like when you, before you had kids and you were just two happy people with time and money, you said, oh, well, when I become a mom, I would never, I would never.
And then you do that.
And then you go through that McDonald's drive-thru that you said you'd never, with your kids on their fucking iPads in the back seat. And it happens. So it's just the same thing when you don't have kids in sports or you don't have maybe that type of kid or like, it's just hard. And I just feel like the older I get when I'm dealing with things with my kids, instead of just getting that unwavering support, you get a lot of people who tell you how to do things different. And that's really hard because each kid is a different child. Mm-hmm. Each parent and household like supports their children differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I'm genuinely trying to navigate a situation and nobody means bad by it, but it is a lot of people that are just like, well, then just say no, or you're the parent, or I would never do that, or I think that's a bad decision, or don't do this. And it's just like, so it's like, luckily Ken has a couple of friends who are in the same boat mm-hmm. and I can talk to their moms about it, but like, even within our team, all the girls aren't always in the same boat for opportunities. So I don't even have that camaraderie with all the parents I'm close with on our team. Like, it's really hard. And then we're really lucky because this hasn't been a major issue. But there's issues of like, sometimes there are families that are upset that your child gets opportunities that their child didn't get. So like, they're just very negative. Well, I wouldn't even do that. That's a waste of your time, you know? And it's just like, well,
Okay.
That's not helping me.
To you.
Right. So it's just hard. And then it was so funny because I was talking to the girls at work because now I have to readjust my entire summer schedule because Dan already used his time off. So it needs to be me that takes her on all these things.
Oh, man.
So I'm rearranging my whole summer schedule. And I was like, Lisa, I feel like we're like the crazy hockey family now. And she's like, oh, you've been. And then I get all defensive. And I was like, well, I feel like the crazy hockey families are families that put their kids in things unnecessarily. And the talent or the drive or the passion doesn't like justify how much you're throwing your kid into. But then I'm like, no, because even then they still might not care if their kids are talented. They need to get them out of the fucking house because their kids have energy. Like, there's no right answer with any of it. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. I get in my head about it because you don't get a lot of support in this. And I've mm-hmm. talked to Kennedy about it because she's had a hard time with other kids supporting her in things that she's been asked to do that they have not. And I said, you know, sometimes one of the reasons why Dan and I never really wanted you to go down this path of like really focusing on being an athlete had nothing to do with your talent, had nothing to do with your drive. It had to do with the fact that that is a lonely road because it's not every kid doing it. And if she was not ranking as high as she is, if we weren't getting offers from boarding schools and private schools and everything out there that we are, we probably wouldn't indulge this. We probably would say, you know what, we're glad you love this, but I feel like you got to work and develop more before we can do these opportunities, you know? But like, the opportunities are just pouring in and it's hard to say no to things and it's hard to find that support in doing what you think is right for your child.
Plus, she really wants to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at no point was she like, maybe I don't.
Right.
Like, and that's the thing is she is driving this bus. And I think especially for a female athlete, like, let her drive that bus. Yeah.
Well, no, yes, but also bleeding me dry.
Oh, yeah.
Of money, time, sanity. No, I get but, that. But that's when, you know, I try to say that and people are like, well, then say no. And then you're like, oh, okay. That's not an answer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, so, I'm sorry. I was just talking so you would listen. I know. Not for you to give me advice.
Yeah. But that's kind of just going into the topic of like, parenting is fucking hard.
It is hard. Mm-hmm. We were talking before the podcast. I have some stuff going on with my son that because I didn't okay it with him first. I'm not going to talk about
details. Yeah, no.
But it's really hard to navigate this. And I've had so many people reach out and just talking to people who are all going through the same thing. So all I want to say is you are not alone because it does feel extremely isolating. It feels like you are doing everything wrong when you're trying to do everything right. You are literally trying to reparent yourself as you're parenting your child and trying to be the parent that they need rather than focusing on being the parent you thought you were going to be.
Yeah.
Or rather than being the parent that maybe your parents were, or maybe you're trying to be the opposite of how your parents were.
And it's like letting go of that image or expectancy
or
like what you thought it was going to look like. And and then you're there and you're like, this is totally not what I thought it was going to be.
No, it's incredibly difficult. And these are like, Not to mention the fact, and my own mom said this to me. She's like, we didn't have cell phones and social media to worry about when you were growing up. She's like, I genuinely feel bad for your generation because I can't imagine what that feels like.
And I think it's hard too because I just think, like you said, I always was like, oh my God, I'm going to be like the parent I needed when I was growing up. Like my parents were amazing. I'm not taking away from them at all. But you know, you picture yourself as a parent. You're like, I'm going to be, but then like your kids aren't you.
Yeah, exactly.
And what they're going through is not anything like what you went through.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to navigate through all of it. And you're hoping you're doing a good job. We're all trying to do our best.
Yeah.
But I do think it is important to always say like you need to find those people in your life though who do support you and offer, like, if you're looking for genuine parenting advice, they give you honest, good, genuine parenting advice.
Yeah.
And when I do sometimes give advice, like, because obviously me being a hairdresser, a lot of people will ask me stuff. Mm-hmm. I will always either start or end it with, but that is my experience right. with my child.
Yeah.
And you could probably handle it a totally different way and it might be more effective.
Yeah.
Right? There's like 80 ways to handle it. And I think I hate that phrase, bigger kids, bigger problems. I don't like that phrase. I understand it's true, but what people don't understand is what I've noticed is every stage of my kids' life has had major challenges that yes. feel very paralyzing.
Yeah.
I think for me as a parent, I am wired better for certain ages of my kids' life.
Mm-hmm.
I think toddlers and teens, those two phases are very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people like one more than the other, but it really is like it challenges you in different ways. I have some people who literally would never have a baby again and be fine because they had such a struggle. Their baby had colic. They just had a hard time postpartum. There's so many things that go yeah. into it that having a baby felt impossible. And as their kids have been older, it's felt better. Mm-hmm. And some people go the other way. I just think that you know, we're going through it now where now I'm navigating being a parent of an adult. Like Keely's 19.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole new trajectory of like, I literally was like, can I have a baby shower for her being this age? And all my friends come over and give me advice and books and tell me like, these are the best methods.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm walking in like completely unarmed to like a brand new fucking field of issues that yeah. I don't know how to navigate through.
It's the crying out method, only it's just us crying in the corner.
Right. And yeah. like,
what the
and
hell?
It's all hard. But I will say this. It's not bigger kids, bigger problems. I think the older your kids get, the less you have control of.
Right.
And the less that you are in charge of. So as much as can happen when you still have some kind of control or you know you can be there, that is such a luxury because I'm dealing with like my kid being somewhere else and like I don't know if she's telling me everything. We don't always tell our parents things. Like
right.
that's just how it goes as you get older.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard because you have to watch your kids make decisions that you really don't get a say in.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know that the repercussions of it are so much deeper.
Yeah.
But and this is what I will say. When those things happen and our kids get older and we have less control of what happens and their repercussions on things, like if Keely doesn't get a good grade in college, it's so much heavier than when she was in fourth grade.
Right.
Because now in college – she might not keep her scholarship. She may not be able to stay there.
Right.
Like it's just more pressure and it's heavier. It's not a bigger problem. It's the same problem, but it has bigger repercussions and I have less control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at those phases, as our kids get older, we as parents need to give each other more grace.
Yeah.
Not more judgment. More grace. How can we give it so much when our kids are babies and you're like so there to offer like – you know, if someone comes in and is like, oh my God, my kid's having such a hard time potty training. You're not like, well, you did it wrong. You know, like you're like, oh my God, everybody has a hard time potty training. Here's all the advice. Here's this book. Here's this. Try this method. This worked for us. Everyone's there to give advice. But when you walk in and you're like, oh my, like this is not Keely or Kennedy. But like you walk in at like, you know, your kid's in 10th grade and you're like, my kid's a slut and sleeping around and I got to put her on birth control. You know, everyone's like, oh. oh, like, yeah, like, you know,
you have less control of your child when they're older.
But that's what I mean is, like, as you get older, we're still the same good parents we were when our kids are baby. It's just harder to navigate and control it.
Right.
And so it's like, that's when we should be giving each other as parents so much more grace and, like, lean on each other even more for support. And we're now going through things individually with our kids where, like, you know, when you're potty training, let's say I have 10 women in a room and all their kids are potty training. You can relate. Mm-hmm. As our kids get older, your children aren't the same as my children. So I have individual issues that I can't really come to you. I can talk to you about it, but you're not going to understand. We're not going through the same thing at the same time. You're going through things with Max. You can come to me and talk to me about it, but, like, we're not going through identical situations anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's less understanding for, like, you try to, but that's when you just support.
Right.
You know? And I think that's such an important thing to talk about. Cause I just think as parents, we need it more as our kids get older, because they're also our kids are relying on us less. And you feel that sense of, like, you know, am I doing it right? Are they going to remember this? Are they going to remember this? Like, it becomes lonely as a parent as they get older too.
Yeah.
You know?
I think one thing I have such a problem with when old parents of older kids say things like bigger kids, bigger problems to parents who have younger kids. And it's like, no, don't diminish that they are having a hard time right now.
Absolutely.
Because every stage is so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. Every single stage.
That's what I would meant to say. Did that not come across? Did I say that wrong?
I mean, I think you said it in so many words, but
you got it. I'm sorry.
To sum up.
But that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's all hard.
Yeah.
It's all hard.
And, like, you know, the older they get, the less control you have over them, because they are, it's the same thing when they're toddlers. They are human beings trying to figure out the world around them.
Yeah.
And we have done stupid shit and we've made our mistakes, but the world that we grew up in is not the world that these kids are growing up in.
We had the luxury of making mistakes.
And nobody documented it.
And nobody knew, like, sorry, mom, but we could sneak out of our houses or go figure this out. And you had that wiggle room to figure that out. And it was still, like, a safe space. Nobody knew that's not going to haunt me in college or to my first job or, you know, and unless someone took the time to develop a Kodak Fun Saver, most of your memories are still secret, you know, because let me tell you, I would not be employable. Like, you know, but they're, like you said, it's just so different. It's all hard.
Yeah.
All of parenting is hard at every stage, you know?
Yeah.
And as they get older, the problems don't get bigger. They're sometimes the same problems you dealt with when they were younger, which is even more frustrating because you're like, I swear to God, sometimes I say the things I yell at my teenagers for, it's literally the same shit I used to yell at them when they were a toddler. There's some, like, weird, like, Zen diagram, like, Venn diagram, like, connection there. Because, like, I've raised my kids to be very polite, nice, wonderful, kind human beings. And, like, I cannot tell you how many times on vacation, Ken would be like, hey, can you grab me that? I'm like, please?
Oh,
like, why am I saying this to you again? Didn't we review this when you were six?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it all kind of comes back around. It's the same problem sometimes. They're just older and pissing you off more. You have far less patience for it.
Yeah, they have more vocabulary now.
And they use less of it.
Yeah.
And less of everything. You is a you. Oh, my God. It's just, it is what it is. But parenting's hard. And all the phases are hard. And I just think it would be in everyone's best interest if, going into Mother's Day coming up, if we just give everybody a little grace.
Yeah.
Because it sucks. And every single day, I think as a parent, you question if you're a good parent.
Absolutely.
I have, like, moments where I think I was good. But as a whole, you're like, nee.
So I'm going to share this. So a friend of mine had reached out to me over the weekend and she said, listen, if I could give you one piece of advice, this meant the most to me. She said, even if you have 30 minutes of the day or maybe even 10 minutes of the day where it was really good, hold on to that.
That's great advice.
You peaced out. Oh, sorry. Well, we're on.
Oh, we are on. We actually had cash money here for a little bit.
We did. He was climbing the roof.
Yeah, because our house is falling apart and ants are infesting it.
But there are three ants here.
No, they're all gone now. So
where'd they go?
I don't want to think about it.
Oh, God. I feel like we should have been tracking them. Damn it. Can we put Life 360 on the ants? Speaking of parenting.
Yeah. Air tags on all of them. So on to a lighter subject.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking about?
Bravo.
Because
we did such a quick Bravo rundown. And then after we did the Bravo rundown, I thought about 18 points I wanted to talk about and I didn't get to talk about.
Tell me.
Okay. First of all, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm Peacock. They have the Vanderpump after show and the Summer House after show. And if you need to, especially with Summer House, not so much with Vanderpump, it's really insightful. So they filmed the after show kind of recently. So the cast literally gets to sit down, watch every episode, and then you get their immediate reaction.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of like mini reunions that are like, and now like, because of the after show, like I heard on Watch What Happens Live, like Sheena was fine with Katie, but now because of the after show, Sheena no longer follows Katie. And they've already filmed the reunion.
Oh,
so
man.
When they filmed the reunion, they have to watch all the episodes.
Right.
They film the reunion. Okay. Mm-hmm. After the, I think it was after the reunion, they have gone back now and watched and recorded these after shows. It was either before or after the reunion. But the after shows do not air until the episode. So like Sheena watched all the episodes and knew how mad she was at Katie, but they resolved at the reunion. But now these after shows are coming out week by week because they don't watch all of those before the reunion. And there is some shit that goes down in these after shows. I mean, they talk about their immediate reactions. They talk about like a lot of stuff, and people's comments on the after shows are like causing them all to fight more. That's what's causing a lot of fights. So Vanderpump has one and Summer House has one, and Summer House after show, it's been like, oh, we don't get a reunion yet. Cause I don't think they've even taped the reunion yet. But they are doing the after show episodes. And let me tell you, everyone's reactions to like Lindsay and Carl stuff and the Wes and Sierra stuff. And then like Paige, I could listen to her maybe talk about clouds for 7 hours. So to get her on the after show, putting her opinions in on everything is phenomenal. It's like another extra, and they're all at like a half hour.
Oh my God.
For every episode.
That's nothing.
So it kind of is like, you can continue it. So I'll like watch the episode, I'll watch the after show, and then I'll watch What Happens Live if any of the guests are on.
Oh my God.
And then it's like, you get the full circle, almost real time reactions of the cast with every episode.
Wow.
And it's, and Summer House has been so good.
Yeah.
So their after shows have been like phenomenal. Yeah. And Carl and Lindsay's like, Carl's seen a lot that he didn't know happened because, I mean, we haven't even seen the reunion yet. So I don't, you know, we're getting more of his initial reactions now. But it's really good. So it does add more context to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be hard, like watching, like, especially Summer House reunion, because they haven't filmed it yet, to watch the Summer House reunion. Like when they have not only everything that was said on the show, they have all of how they're feeling watching these after shows.
Wow.
And there's a lot that goes down in them. So I feel like it would be a really good thing to watch. So if you're into it, you should be watching the after shows. It's all on Peacock.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. They never did it for Summer House before. This is their first season. But I guess they did it last season and then this season with Vanderpump.
So
but it's really good. I highly recommend. I found all the Summer House ones. I think there's only three out, so I watched all three like 2 days ago. It was so good.
Oh,
I love it.
Gosh.
But anyways, okay, so I want to start with Summer House because honestly, I'm just liking it more.
It's so good.
Okay, can we talk about the fact that like Lindsay and Kyle are kind of the same person and Amanda and Carl are very similar?
I had not thought of that.
I literally can't unsee it now. Like Kyle's like, you're so unmotivated. I just am so ambitious. I just want to work. And Amanda's like, I just want to live in a house like outside of the city and be a mom and be with our dogs. And like, and he's like, you just don't have the same ambition and blah, blah. And they're just like not on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why is Kyle, Lindsay, and Carl and Amanda are the same?
This is so fascinating.
Right? because I was like thinking about it and I was like, Carl needs to be with someone who's just like super supportive. So I was like, Carl needs an Amanda. And I'm like, probably because Carl and Amanda are very similar.
Oh my God, for real.
And like Kyle and Lindsay are like exactly the same. They're like ambitious gaslighters. Sorry. I know that's terrible. I know people don't like that term, but I mean, that's what they drink. Who love to party.
Yeah.
Who just want to party, party, party.
Yeah.
I feel really bad. And like the Kyle Amanda situation, I feel really bad because Amanda is one of my favorites on the show. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love her. Mm-hmm. I feel like if she were here, she'd be chill as all hell. We could go for drinks with her. I just don't think she wants to be on the show anymore. I think she wants to evolve past this stage of their life.
Yeah.
And like, I feel bad that now that Kyle and Amanda are married, they don't seem to be growing together.
Yeah.
They seem to be growing apart. And it makes me sad because I certainly don't want to see anyone not stay married or, but it just seems like they're just so not on the same page. But on the after show, which is obviously filmed like more recent, they were talking to Kyle. Oh, and now Watch What Happens Live. Andy asked him too. And he's like, how are you and Amanda doing? Are you guys like on the same page now? Are things better? Like after you told her that she's miserable and makes you lonely in your marriage or whatever the fuck that comment was.
Yikes.
Andy's like, have things been better? And Kyle's like, well, like we're working on things. And I'm like, that was 7 months ago. Have you guys not figured this out yet? Like,
Jesus,
I don't know. I'm really rooting for them, but I just don't think that they are a healthy couple.
Man, they did so well last year, too.
I know. I just feel like, and like now all of a sudden Kyle doesn't know if he wants to have kids and Kyle wants to party more.
That was like, okay.
I also will say this seems more like a Kyle issue because it seems like they were going down the same path and I feel like he's like reversing.
Yeah.
He put the car in reverse. Something's going on.
I do agree with that. Yeah. And also like they work together and live together and
in a tiny apartment.
Yes. And he clearly has no like work-life boundaries there. So when you're working together and living together, like that's hard.
Yeah. And he keeps expecting him from her.
Yeah.
And they're very different people.
Yeah.
He's like, I wake up at 6 and I go to bed at this time. And then I see Amanda and she's just like sitting. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, she doesn't want to work the same way you want to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You like, I understand you guys are like together. If you want like a power team, a power couple.
Yeah.
If you like marry Lindsay.
I was just going to say then you got to marry
Lindsay. Lindsay would love if you worked all day and fucking night apparently because that's a big issue with Carl.
And then you guys would drink Loverboy all the damn time.
Yeah. And you'd have to hire someone to safely watch your children.
But yeah, because Lindsay wants kids too.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of Lindsay's issue with Carl is Lindsay projecting her own relationship with alcohol on Carl.
Well, I think Lindsay projects a lot of shit on Carl.
Oh, yeah,
right?
100%.
Like half the time I'm like, I feel like you're seeing the narrative of what this could be, but you're not actually seeing what's happening.
Yeah.
It's a little sus.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like, that too sometimes though, so I feel like I'm like really really aware of it.
Oh,
so I'm like
the projecting,
not the projecting, but just like how you're remembering it isn't exact.
Oh Jesus, yeah.
You remember like your feelings of it cloud the facts.
Ah, that's
so
a good way
to try
say it.
When it's something important.
Yeah.
I try to only bring facts to the table.
Yes.
Because I know I can be that way and I'm self-aware enough. Mm-hmm. I feel like her feeling in those moments are clouding her facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
She's just a mess.
Yeah. I'm very much Team Carl on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to desperately know if Wes and Sierra are together.
Okay. I was really counting on you to look this up.
So, well, someone else did the work for me. They, someone called in to Watch What Happens Live and said, oh, we noticed that Sierra was just recently took pictures at your family's ranch and with your family horse. And we saw everything in the background. Did your parents like her? Oh and Wes God. Was like, oh my God, like you guys, you should watch Wes' appearance on Watch What Happens Live.
Oh my God, I'm
it's
here for it.
Adorable and endearing because he's never been on it before. And people were calling from all over and he's like, this is so cool that you watch. Like,
aww.
Yeah, super sweet. But people were doing the detective work. They're like, we saw that Sierra was at your parents' ranch with your horse. God. So what did your parents think of her? And he's like, oh, my God. OK, well, my parents love her. Aww. And I'm still not commenting on her on our relationship. So
I now follow her.
I just really hope they're together because, like, I think that, like, she's really good for him and he's really good for her. The scene he had with his great aunt.
I cannot.
I love him.
Oh, my God. He's the best.
I love him.
Sierra is on Watch What Happens Live on Thursday.
Oh, well, I'm sure she will get grilled.
This is like my new favorite show that I cannot wait until Thursdays now.
Well, and Andrea came back.
Oh, he is adorable.
Him bringing them the coffee again. I'm like, I fucking love this man.
I know.
I have now, I am reformed. I am actually very pro Paige and Craig because they individually have developed and evolved into such great people that makes me think that this is a healthy, normal relationship and it's like very good for both of them. Mm-hmm. That being said, I still wish she picked Andrea.
That is so funny.
I love Andrea so much.
He is a lovely human.
He really is.
I really wanted to see him and Wes interact.
Oh, I know.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I know. God, I love Andrea, though.
Also, you know who I'm really warming up to is Jesse Solomon.
I am, too.
Yeah.
Well, and it looks like, I don't know if this is the truth, it looks like there's some sort of cancer scare, like his cancer. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't come back, but something happens. So I feel like it's going to tug at our heartstrings. But I need you to watch the after show because he had testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. So he has a fake testicle and they all talk about it on the after show because they've all touched it and seen it because they wanted to know what it felt like. And Wes talks about it.
Oh, my God.
And it's amazing. It is amazing. The after show adds so much more context. It actually makes me love Jesse. And Wes talks about how him and Jesse really didn't get along at first.
Wow.
And like how they evolved. And he's like, but then I touched his fake testicle and we bonded. And I fucking love this right now. It's so good. It'll like, it'll get you through till Thursday now because there's three episodes.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you should go on Peacock and watch all the after shows.
Yeah.
For Summer House because it will add life to your, it will add like joy to your life. The one episode they asked the whole cast what their icks are.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Gabby had a list. You know, Gabby had
list. Of course. Are you kidding me?
Paige's literally were like, I was like, those are so obvious, but also so fucking accurate.
Oh my God.
Like, I was like, me too. Same. She was like, long fingernails. On a man. She's like, when a guy uses umbrellas. She's like, clearly umbrellas are for girls. She's like, fucking figure it out. She goes, it's an ick. I'm like, I'm dying over her ick.
That is so funny. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to watch this.
It's going
to
bring you joy.
Oh,
nice distraction from our lives.
Okay, for real. For real.
Okay. Do you have more to add with Summer House?
Can I tell you a quick wait what?
Yes.
That involves testicles. So it reminded me when you said that. So last night I'm putting Jude to bed and he's out of nowhere. It's like one of those memes, like no one, Jude. He goes, why do my balls go into their secret compartment? I go, I'm sorry, what?
Brian.
He goes, my balls, they go up into like this secret compartment area. Like where do they go? Why does that happen? I go, well, I don't know, Jude. I go, let's look that up, though, someday. So today I have to come home with information on why that happens.
What is it?
When their balls, like, come up. So I haven't looked it up yet, but someone told me sometimes it could be a certain way that you're lying down. They could do that.
Like
sometimes
how my boobs fall back into themselves when I lay down. Yeah. Like they fill up with water or they just and go back into my body. Like that?
Yes. Or I thought it was body temperature too. Like if there's shrinkage going on, if you're really cold.
Okay. Now I actually.
Okay.
This has brought up an actual medical question I have.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Like I want to know, like, where do the balls go?
Here we go.
Do they disappear? How did I not know this? I should
testicular
know this.
Atrophy occurs when the testes shrink. There are several potential reasons for this, including aging, underlying medical conditions, or infections. I'm going to look at the
Mayo
Clinic.
So do they shrink, or do they just like have a spot down there they fall into?
Hold on. Testicle may be moved and by hand from the groin into the scrotum and won't immediately retreat to the groin. Testicle might spontaneously appear in the scrotum and remain there for time. I feel like I'm on the wrong
side. Dan's going to be so excited because I'm going to be like, I have some questions about your testicles.
Yes.
He's instantly not going to be excited when I start asking.
An overactive muscle causes a testicle to become a retractile testicle. The cremaster muscle? That's hilarious, is a thin pouch-like muscle in which a testicle rests. When the cremaster muscle contracts, it pulls the testicle up toward the body. The reflex can be stimulated by rubbing a nerve on the inner thigh and by emotions such as fear and laughter.
Or sexual, I would assume.
I think I'm saying it wrong. Cremaster is also activated by a cold environment. If the reflex is strong enough, it can result in a retractile testicle pulling the testicle out of the scrotum and up into the groin.
Oh, my God. See, I don't think my husband is aware of any of these things because he always wants to have sex and I'm never in the mood. So I think it's just blue balls. So he's like, he's a testicle.
I'm like, that literally
calm
has
me
nothing
down.
To do with
calm
it.
Me down. I think they're always out.
Yeah.
They're always out and ready.
What causes disappearance of testes?
This is what I need to know.
Okay, the suspected...
I need the testes to go away
the
for a
suspected
minute.
Cause is that the spermatic cords, which attach each testicle to the body, fail to grow at the same rate as the rest of the child. No, that's not right.
Okay, well, I feel like we're going to end it here with...
How do you fix a small incision? Ooh, I'm
no,
out.
No, okay.
I'm out.
We're good. So we've just lost all the male listeners.
Are you kidding me? We just kept all the male listeners. They're like, I'm normal.
I'm gonna ask Dan if this ever happens to him.
Yeah.
I feel like
do small balls mean most sperm? I'm sorry. I need to get off this now. There are too many questions. Can
I just
a testicle
think...
go up and inside of the body?
Ew.
Yes, it's even quite normal.
Oh my God. I'm going to ask Dan all these things.
If
sorry, see, we did bring
longer.
It back to my sex life. Sorry, Ken.
Nah.
Sorry.
Whoa, I don't want to read this anymore.
Yeah, I feel like these. This is interesting.
Yeah. No, no. Bye.
We'll just ask Jesse Solomon.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on.
Do your testes? No.
The one?
The one? Does the fake one?
All okay. Right. Yeah.
You gotta get going.
What else? Yeah.
Great note to end on.
Yeah.
Testicles.
Yeah. Everybody look into it. If we have any medical staff listening, Jen, looking at you, I want a fully written script of what we can announce on the next one.
I just don't think I ever realized that Dan's weren't there. They're always there.
I mean, you're not staring at his balls 24/7.
No, 100%. Yeah. No, I'm actively trying to avoid ever looking at his balls. So well, now I'd be very curious.
Let me move my lift chair up so I can turn this microphone off.
And put your transitions on.
This is big enough font. I don't need my readers.
We're going to buy you some new readers before we start videoing.
Ooh, that's a great.
Oh, and P.S. Vial Files has Monica Garcia on there.
Did you see she's pregnant?
Yeah, she announced it on there. And I'm just filled with rage and anger that she is not going to be on our screens.
I know.
We're not going to see this play out.
I wonder who the dad is.
She knows who the dad is. They were like casually seeing each other.
Oh.
Whoop. It's not casual anymore.
Hope he got money.
So anyways, well, thanks for listening, guys. This was a real fucking mixed bag.
Yet somehow all came together.
Parenting Bravo and testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Great episode.
Yes. Looking forward to
it. We're just hitting all the demographics.
There's just a wide range of all of you.
We should just call this episode the Transitioning Testicles.
The Cremaster. That's hilarious.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that the taint?
No, it's the muscle.
Okay.
It's hilarious that it's called that. Also, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's probably the cremaster. And you're like, the cream master.
Cream master makes more sense.
Makes semen. We're way too immature for this.
Oh my God, we are. thanks for
listening. So to answer Jude's question, no, we don't know.
No, we still don't know.
No, we still don't know.
I'm going to need some kind of graphic for him.
Nick? You haven't sent an inappropriate text in a while by accident. Maybe we should bring one of those back.
I forgot about that. Oh my God.
My bed squeaks. Look. Wasn't he with his kids when he opened that? Good times. Good times.
Idiots.
We'll have to have mom for a topic of conversation.
Yeah. He'll love it, I'm sure.
How many times do your testicles go up into their secret place?
Yeah. We need to know more information.
Right now, actually.
We're going to do a survey.
They're gone.
Okay.
All right. Bye.